This episode is brought to you by Just Egg. It's a butter egg made from plants. Bring more customers in your doors with Just Egg. Start with a free sample at ju.st/hrn.
This week on Meat and Three, we're talking organization. Not mise en place or keeping your knives in a row, but labor organizing.
If any restaurant worker is listening to this and is like, yes, I want something different, but I don't know where to start. First step they just need to do is to find one of us and get plugged in.
As independent contractors, they can't directly tell people, you know, when or where to work, but by using sort of gamified nudges to push people, that is sort of how they move the workforce around.
Tune in to Meat and Three, available wherever you get your podcasts.
Hello and welcome to Why Food, a podcast about entrepreneurs, innovators, and career changers. I'm your solo co-host this week, Ethan Frisch, and I'm really excited to introduce you to a friend of mine, somebody who I've gotten to know over the last year around his really excellent and interesting product. There's really nothing else like it on the market, and he likewise is kind of a one-of-a-kind food entrepreneur. Yao Zhao is the founder of 50 Hertz Szechuan Pepper. Yao, thank you for joining me.
My pleasure, Ethan.
So let's start with the story. How did you come to start 50 Hertz?
It's interesting. My background is actually in clean energy. I work in the Middle East and the North Africa region for the World Bank on clean energy development. I sometimes joke that, you know, I spent the first 10 years of my career battling against oil and gas. Now I'm working on citron pepper oil, but I think the journey to start the business is a lot of self exploration throughout the career. So I was pretty unhappy, I think three or four years ago, at what I'm doing. I think it's a very research heavy profession. I do a lot of research, paper writing, and government relations. I think through reading and listening to podcasts and talking to a lot of entrepreneurs, I realized I'm actually an entrepreneur. You know, I like putting things together. I like building things. So, and then I become very alert to new ideas and business ideas around me. And the way I stumbled upon this business idea, you know, promoting citron pepper and the tingling sensation to a world foodies, is actually a trip back to my hometown, Chongqing, back in China. My mom was making this cucumber salad, smashed cucumber salad. It's a very iconic Sichuan and Chongqing cold appetizer. And you finish it off with a little bit of green citron pepper oil. So I had a bite of the cucumber, and I grew up with it, but I just I was amazed by the tingling and numbing sensation and the green variety of citron pepper, which is even novel to me. So when I came back to the States after the visit, I brought back a bottle of citron pepper, green citron pepper oil. And I added to a lot of my own cooking. Sometimes it's pasta, sometimes it's pizza and a salad. And it just really works. It works really well with Western food. And my partner said, wow, you know, it really works well with Western dishes. You know, it should go beyond the Chinese food. And I think that sentence I still remember. And then I started, you know, doing research. I'm the kind of person who wouldn't let an idea go away from me. So I started doing research, and here we are. That's basically how I started the business.
That's amazing. Would you describe that flavor, that sensation of, maybe we'll get into the details about Szechuan pepper versus the pepper oil, but let's start with the oil. What What does it taste like? What does it smell like? And what does it feel like?
Right. So I'll start with the green Sichuan pepper oil because there's also the red. The green Sichuan pepper smells, very lemony and bright and zesty. It's like fresh flowers. In fact, Sichuan pepper is called flower pepper in Chinese. So it's very flowery and very bright. It has this amazing tingling, numbing sensation that you might have had in Sichuan food, mapo tofu or kung pao chicken. And all of those iconic dishes have that tingling, numbing sensation.
And is that perhaps connected to the name of your company?
Yeah. So my company is called 50 Hertz. This is part of my research. I was doing research and researching on Sichuan pepper, and I came across this paper published in London by the Royal Society, and it's the head of the Department of Neuroscience at UCL, University College London, and the scientist studied the pepper, and he connected 9 volts of electricity to people's fingernails, fingertips, and they concluded that the tingling sensation from Sichuan pepper is equivalent to the same frequency, which is 50 hertz of electricity hitting their tongue. So I read this paper and I wrote to the professor. I said, "Well, Professor Haggard, I'm so and so, and I want to do champion Sichuan pepper to world foodies. I want to use your scientific result as my brand name. Would you agree?" And Professor Haggard is such a great academic, and he said, "Well, I'm happy that my scientific work will be put into good use." So I took that name as my brand name, which is it says everything about Sichuan pepper.
That's such a crazy study. Mm-hmm. How did he? Do you know the story? Like, why was he checking the electrical pattern of Sichuan pepper?
Yeah. So I read the paper. Basically, the introduction is okay. So we know how Sichuan pepper causes that tingling, numbing sensation. It's the chemical called hydroxy alpha sanshul. Which is the chemical that causes the tingling, numbing sensation. But how would you describe it? How would you describe that tingling, numbing sensation? How can we quantify it? And I think that's why he started this research. And it's part of, I think, his general coverage in tactile sensations. In fact, actually, 3 months ago, he published another paper using Sichuan pepper, which is to explore the physical touch and the chemical touch, right? So the sensations caused by food, such as Sichuan pepper or chili pepper, the capsaicin in chili pepper, you would describe it as, you would categorize them as the chemical touch. But there's also just the mechanical touch of your skin. So he used Sichuan pepper to find out if these two types of touches interfere with each other. And the result is they do, right? If you feel tingling, numbing sensation on your lips, and if you touch your lips, it would attenuate that sensation. So it's a new paper, and it was very interesting.
Wow. I mean, I guess Sichuan peppercorns are such an iconic part of, obviously, Sichuan cooking and Chinese cooking more broadly. And Chinese cooking has had a presence in the United States in many forms for a very long time, but it sounds like this aspect of Sichuan cooking or Chinese cooking has not really made it into sort of the mainstream U.S. consciousness, unlike many other flavors which were originally Chinese, but people now sort of they're very widely recognized. What do you think it is about Sichuan peppercorns or the oil or the that sensation that you're talking about that has made it difficult for people to learn about it? Or I don't know, why is it so much farther behind other aspects of Chinese cooking in the U.S.?
Right. That's a very good point. I think part of it is socioeconomic reasons, right? I think China now... I think at the beginning, it was the Chinese in America are Cantonese, and the older generation of Chinese in America or outside of China. So the food is tend to be General Chow's chicken and, you know, those, I would say, you know, the last generation Chinese food. But I think as China is rising to the, you know, the second largest world economy, a lot of new immigrants outside of China, I think a lot of them are students and young professionals, and they are generally more eager to explore other flavors. So I think that's one reason. And the other reason is it is a quirky flavor, even in China. I remember when I was in China, so I went to college in Beijing. I went to college in Beijing, and I moved to Beijing, and I'm from Sichuan. And the Sichuan food is famous for mala, right? The ma stands for the tingling numbing sensation in Chinese, and la is the burning heat from the chili peppers. And even in outside of Chongqing, outside of Sichuan, that flavor is was new back 15 years ago. But now mala, as you know, is taking over the world, taking over China, actually. You know, Sichuan restaurant is everywhere in China and, you know, everywhere in the world. So I think it's just a matter of time because, you know, it's a great flavor and it will really be popular around the world. But I think it's also one of those things that needs champions to put energy behind it and to make it happen. And there are many people doing that. So, yeah.
And you have a particular process kind of different from other Sichuan peppercorn or Sichuan pepper products I've seen in the US, where you are infusing it into oil so that it's sort of a different way of using it. How are you infusing the Sichuan peppercorns into the oil, and then how do you recommend people?
Right. So that's interesting because I think that goes back to my business idea, right? Because my business idea is not really to champion Sichuan food or to champion to gear towards the Chinese market, because I want to make this tingling numbing sensation more known and more enjoyed by American foodies, by Western foodies. So I came across the oil, you know, from the dish my mom made, which I think it's a much easier way to use Sichuan pepper, because normally Sichuan pepper comes in a dry form, in a dried pepper. In a dried pepper form, and you have to grind it and into powder. You have to toast it and grind it. It just makes it harder for a general American public to use that flavor. And the flavor goes away really fast. That's why I started with the oil, because it's a condiment. You infuse fresh Sichuan pepper into the oil, which is rapeseed oil. And the oil keeps the flavor for a long time. And then you just drizzle to your food, use it as a condiment. So that's why I started the business, because I think it's just easier for the American public to use it.
And what's the feedback been on that kind of more creative presentation of this flavor profile?
So it's been excellent. It's really beyond my wildest imagination. So I started the business, roughly a year ago, like officially. I've been doing research since 2018, right? You know, because I have a job, so I'm doing it on the side. You know, so slowly I'm putting together the supply chain. You know. The designs and also the research, right? You know, I have zero experience in the food industry. So it took me a long time to do the research and put things together. But really last year, pandemic started. I had a lot of flexibility at hand. So I opened the website and I start doing some promotion, but I'm just doing it on my own. And then Fusha Dunlop. So one morning I woke up with 500 messages on my phone. I just had absolutely no idea what happened. And I realized Fusha Dunlop, the most famous, perhaps the most famous chefs and author on Chinese food, posted a shout out to the green Sichuan pepper oil I was selling on her Instagram. that caused this, you know, pandemonium on my phone. And and you know, Fuchsia Donlop, for those who don't know, and she is really the most famous chefs on Sichuan food. So get a shout out from her is really like a footballer get a shout out from, you know, Messi or something like that. So it was a big deal for me. And then, so then I got my first batch of customers. And I think, you know, so for that batch of customers, you know, a few hundred of them, they, I think they're already very familiar with Sichuan food and Sichuan pepper. So they're just very happy to learn the existence of the oil, and they love it, right? But I also know it's a quote-unquote biased group because the, you know, they already have that inclination toward this flavor and sensation. So about a month later, the New York Times wrote to me asking me if they could give me a shout-out in their morning newsletter. And, you know, I was, again, like I didn't really know what I was getting into. I said, sure, you know, let's do it. And they warned me that they have 5 million readers, that I have to be ready. And I prepared 1,000 bottles for that feature. And then we ran the story on July the 2nd. And over the next 24 hours, we had 22,000 orders. Just completely exploded. But yeah, it was really an out of the world kind of experience. But tie it to that, your question is that batch of customer, you know, which is huge for me, you know, in the tens of thousands, most of them have no idea what Sichuan pepper is. They think it's a chili oil. A lot of them think it's a chili oil. They actually don't know tingling numbing sensation at all. So I think that batch of customer gave me the real feedback that I was seeking. They love it. I think it was such a humbling experience dealing with them because I had a lot of mistakes and, you know, and hiccups during the peak of the pandemic. But they wrote to me emails and messages saying, like, you know, they just love this tingling numbing sensation and they want to know more on how to use it. So sorry, it's a bit verbose to your question, but that's the whole journey.
What did you do when you got 22,000 orders overnight and you only had 1,000 bottles ready to ship? How did you respond?
It was very stressful. Again, you know, so the full story was I woke up in the morning that day, July the 2nd. I sat in front of the computer thinking, you know, the story must have run because, you know, it was 6:30 in the morning. I thought the morning newsletter must have gone out. But I got in front of my computer. Nothing happened. Zero traffic on my website. But I didn't know that the story was wrong at 6:45. So 6:45, there are 100,000 people on my website all at once. And the 1,000 bottle I prepared was sold out in 20 minutes, and I scrambled to change to pre-order mode, and, you know, and then the sales keep coming in. It was just a very kind of out of the world experience. So I was definitely exhilarated at the beginning, but then when I was hit by 22,000 orders in the peak of the pandemic, and I was, you know, as you know, a lot of food brands were out of stock for 3 months. I panicked for, I think, a few hours because, you know, I didn't know if I could get the oil back in stock. But luckily, I think my suppliers in China, it really shows the entrepreneurship or the hardworking spirit of some of the Chinese companies. I called them. I said, I need 3 tons of oil in a week. Can you deliver it? And they came back saying, no problem, we got it. And so they worked 3 shifts into midnight for roughly 10 days and delivered 3 tons of oil. The lucky thing is July is actually the harvest season for green Sichuan pepper. So we were able to use the freshest from the latest harvest. Back then it was the peak of the pandemic. There was not many flights between the US and China. So I managed to find a commercial flight, a Delta flight from Beijing to Atlanta. And then I put 3 tons of oil in the cargo department. And then I was back in stock in three weeks. So yeah, that was, it was kind of crazy, but I aged like 3 years in 3 weeks.
Yeah, what an insane launch. I mean, you'd only been in business a few months at that point. How has that played out over time in the year or so since then?
Yeah, I barely had time to think. Basically, from July to Christmas time, because I mentioned a lot of those, high moments of this a journey. But at the same time, I made a lot of mistakes. My packaging wasn't ready. And the fulfillment center made a lot of mistakes. A few weeks of delay, even though I was back in stock in 3 weeks, I couldn't deliver until in August. So I just keep delaying because of the fulfillment. And it was me at the same time, it was me against the 22,000 customers. So it was very stressful. And then, and then figured out everything. And then Christmas time hit. So a lot of customers came back and bought the oil as Christmas gift for their friends and family. So since then, now things are more manageable. Everything is more or less on the autopilot mode. So I have time to think and strategize what's next. Ever since then, I got a small batch of loyal and adventurous and interesting customers that I think that's the best gift from last year, actually.
Yeah, that's amazing. We're going to take a quick break. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
This episode is brought to you by Just Egg. You can't have plant-based breakfast without a plant-based egg. Just Egg is now the fastest growing egg brand in the United States. Bring more plant-based customers into your doors with easy-to-use Just Egg. You can get started with a free sample. Just head to ju.st/hrn. Made from plants, Just Egg is a better egg for you and for the planet. It's healthier, with no cholesterol and less saturated fat. And it's more sustainable. Just Egg uses less water and generates fewer carbon emissions. Most importantly, it's delicious. For our listeners who operate a food service establishment, you can get a sample for free. Head to ju.st/hrn. Just Egg makes a delicious plant-based addition to any menu. It's available as a liquid scramble, great for omelets, frittatas, stir fries, and French toast. There's also frozen, pre-baked, folded version that's ideal for filling breakfast sandwiches or topping salads. Chef Jose Andres called Just Egg mind-blowing, and Bon Appetit says, "So good, I feel guilty eating it." Put the fastest-growing egg brand on your menu. Get a free sample of Just Egg for your restaurant at ju.st/hrn.
And we're back. You're listening to Why Food, and my guest this week is Yao Zhao, founder of 50 Herd Sichuan Pepper. Yao, I wanted to spend a little time talking about some of the differences and the misconceptions that people might have about Sichuan peppercorns and different ones. You've mentioned that there are two colors, green and red. Would you just talk a little bit about the differences? Are they the same plant? Are they different plants? Mm-hmm. And how are the flavors different?
Yeah, no, that's a great question, Ethan. In fact, actually, the first thing I want to mention is you just mentioned Sichuan peppercorns. But it's actually not a peppercorn. And the reason is Sichuan pepper, you don't use the actual seeds. The black pepper or white pepper, the flavor resides in the actual seeds, right? You put the peppercorn in the grinder and you grind them into powder. But in the case of Sichuan pepper, it's actually a flower bud of this citrusy family. So you dry them And then you use the shell of the fruit. And that's where the chemical, the sensual, resides. So I think the first misconception is, people say it's a peppercorn. It's a peppercorn. But I think peppercorn is actually not, it's a misnomer. It's actually not the right word. But I think it's hard to avoid, because sometimes even I say, Sichuan peppercorn. But I just want to emphasize, it's actually not a peppercorn. So I would just say dried Sichuan pepper, which is interesting because I'm actually launching the new product, which is the dried Sichuan pepper. And in my marketing, in my labels and marketing materials, I'm resisting the urge to use peppercorns. So I always call it dried Sichuan pepper. But I just want to make that distinction. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's so tricky because to call something a pepper is also a misnomer in the sense that a pepper is really about a capsicum,
right?
Sweet pepper or chili pepper,
right?
And English just doesn't have a word for a small round spice that doesn't taste spicy.
Yeah.
Like there just isn't a word for
that. Yeah, exactly. And I think the second thing I want to say is, I mentioned there are green and red variety. And the red variety is known and used in China and around the world for thousands of years, and so the red variety is familiar with chefs and foodies, but it's really the green variety that that I really love because I love it so much that I started the business with the green variety because I think it's more floral. And zesty and bright. I compare them as red wine and white wine. So, the red wine is more mature, deeper, and more full-bodied. And the green variety is like white wine. It's brighter and refreshing. You want to pair it with fish and seafood. So I think, and that distinction between the red and green is interesting. I think that's one thing that a lot of people don't know about Sichuan pepper.
What do they look like on the tree, or how is that? Are the colors the same when they're fresh, or do they come out as they dry?
So so there are two varieties of Sichuan pepper, right? So the green variety is not a less mature version of the red, but at the beginning they're both green, and the green variety will stay green even when it's mature. I think the green variety will turn slightly pinkish, but you would have harvested before it turns a bit pink. And then the red variety will started in green color, and then it becomes this really dazzling red color that you can see from afar. When I visited the farms in the Sichuan area last summer, actually 2 summers ago, you could see the whole mountain is in this dazzling red color of Sichuan pepper. It's beautiful.
Wow.
Yeah.
What do the farms look like in general?
Small. So Sichuan pepper, the industry is still rather small, and it's in fact it's actually a dying industry. So it's really pockets of small farmers and cooperatives are planting Sichuan pepper, and the reason is Sichuan pepper is has this it's called actually prickly ash. It has this very sharp thorns on the branches. So you can't automation hasn't arrived to be harvested by machines. So it has to harvest by hand, and so you can imagine the farmers are cutting the peppers from very thorny trees, and sometimes gets a bit bloody, and it cuts you here and there. So it's a very laborious process. So a lot of farmers are actually moving away from Sichuan pepper because the revenue they generate is actually not that high. So you can only see very small farms in pockets of Sichuan and Chongqing province, and you know, and also in Gansu province, adjacent to Sichuan, north of Sichuan, that's also planting Sichuan pepper.
So where do you think that goes? I mean, are you worried, or you know, it seems like market demand internationally, especially, is going up.
Yeah.
I mean, your business is an indicator of that. But if production is slowing down, or farmers still aren't making enough to justify the work and the pain involved in picking the peppercorns, where do you see this going?
Yeah, I think actually that's another reason why I want to do this, because you know, to raise the awareness of Sichuan pepper around the world will definitely help. And as you know, people in the West can potentially pay higher prices for good quality Sichuan pepper. So I think that's partly why I want to do this. And I think the other thing is, you know, to make the farmers proud and of what they're doing, I think a lot of their work are undervalued. When I go visit them, I was just very curious, and I would take photos and record what they're doing. And you can see the effect on their face when someone is interested in their work. And I think that's part of the process, you know, to bring the attention and bring the awareness to Sichuan pepper. I think that also really helps.
You talked earlier about the differences between green and red. Could you give us a couple of examples of how you might use how you might use them differently, or different dishes that where green or red might taste better?
Yeah. So the red is very iconic Sichuan flavor. You know, once you taste it, it's you know, Mapo tofu all over again. So you know, you could use the red oil or the red peppercorns in the iconic Sichuan dishes, Mapo tofu, Kung Pao chicken. For me, I actually really like the red. I like to drizzle the red pepper oil on my pizza. I love that. I love using it together with the red chili flakes on my pizza. I found that was actually quite amazing. But the green is even more interesting, because the green, you know, in China, the green are mainly paired with fish, you know, and frog, in fact. Back in the US now, I use the green on my salad and seafood quite a bit, and pasta. How I stumbled upon the business idea, I forgot. There's a moment I was making a Thomas Keller recipe. It's this mushroom shallot pasta. And I just added a little bit of green Sichuan pepper oil on top of it. The flavor just brings together the earthiness from the mushroom and the Parmesan cheese, the umami flavor from Parmesan cheese. So I would definitely recommend the green Sichuan pepper on pasta, because you know, it's very refreshing and lemony. So it dissolves fattiness really well. And interestingly, a lot of my customers, this is to my surprise, a lot of my customers love it on their peppercorn. So that's actually an innovative use that I didn't expect before I started the business, because I didn't know that, you know, people can use it on their popcorn. So those just to name a few uses.
Do you find that most of your customers are cooking more traditional Chinese dishes, or at least their own interpretations of them? Are they using it in more Western dishes, or just sort of working it into their regular rotation of recipes that they already cook?
I think it's a half and half. You know, so for those customers that's already familiar with Chinese food, so they're just happy to find this new pantry item that they can just easily use to either replace the peppercorn, or they can just drizzle on their food, and then there's the other part of the customer. They got to know the tingling numbing sensation, and then they started adding to their rotation of recipes, as you said. And I think that's actually part of my mission, to encourage them to do that, because I want to find out, okay, what are the other options out there? And speaking of which, I just forgot to mention, drinks is another way of people using it. Many people wrote to me that they love their a little bit of a tingle in their cocktail, because I think the numbing sensation is actually very similar to the carbonated sensation when you drink Coke or bubbly water. So beverage is actually another very interesting area that I want to explore with my customers.
Yeah, that's such a cool idea. I hadn't thought about that, but you're absolutely right. A little fizz on your tongue is something people are very accustomed to.
And actually, that's why, I think that's why mala works so well, the iconic Sichuan flavor, because, the la, the burning sensation is a bit hot, right? And numbing is cool and calming sensation. So it balances it out. And they have different receptors to receive those chemicals. And that's why.
Yeah, wow, very cool. Let's do a couple of rapid fire questions before we wrap up. Let's start with kind of an iconic dish from your childhood. What were some of your mother's favorite dishes that you ate growing up, or your favorite dishes in Chongqing?
Mm-hmm. I would say Chongqing noodles. In Chinese called Chongqing xiaomian, Chongqing small noodles. There's a recipe on my website, and that's that dish is so iconic in my hometown Chongqing. I grew up eating that dish, and
tell us about it. What is it?
It's a noodle dish. It's so simple. It has this base. It's a soup based. Or you can have it dry as well, but it's traditionally soup based with a lot of garlic and ginger, and chili oil, and Sichuan pepper, and then you would. So you would make that very, very flavorful bowl of the base. And then you would boil green vegetables. Any kind of green vegetable would work. I normally use bok choy. And then you boil the bok choy and you put it on, put it into the soup base. And then you, make some noodles. You boil the noodles for 2 to 4 minutes and you put it into the bowl, and then you just add some toppings. I normally fried, an egg, or you could do some ground pork or ground beef, or any kind of proteins. So that dish is so iconic, in my hometown. And so I have done quite a few, cooking events with my customers, and they love it. So I would definitely recommend that dish. And that dish is those type of dish that you would see people eating on the street everywhere if you go to Sichuan and Chongqing. So I would definitely name that dish.
Yeah, it sounds pretty amazing. Yeah. How about your desert island kitchen tool? What kitchen tool do you bring with you to a desert island?
Ooh, I think a good pair of Chinese cleaver, I would definitely bring, because it's so versatile. You can cut with it, you smash cucumber and smash garlic with it. And more importantly, because the Chinese cleaver is white, the blade is very white, so you can smash. But more importantly, when you dice things, you can put things on to the white blade and then move them around. So I would definitely choose a Chinese cleaver.
Yeah, it's a built-in scoop in addition to being a knife. It makes it easy to drop things into a pan. How about the best meal or a really great meal that you've ever had that cost less than $5 or $10, something that really blew you away but didn't cost very much?
So I can name a few from my travels. I remember when I first visited Vietnam when I was backpacking, and I had pho for the first time. And it was in the morning, right? So people in Vietnam have pho, you know, three meals a day. But I remember having a bowl of pho on the street of Hanoi and enjoy that mugginess from the summer and the flavor from the pho and the freshness from the vegetables for less than a dollar. It's so good. I think that's very memorable. And also the whole ambience, being on the road, backpacking. It was just a happy time that I want to revisit.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it sounds like an amazing meal and those roadside pho spots in Vietnam. I've only been there once, but, my Burlap and Barrel co-founder Ori, pho is probably his single favorite food. And so any chance we got, that's what we were eating.
Yeah.
And even you know, getting to taste some of the differences city to city or town to town, how people were serving it, the herbs that they were serving alongside it, the size and shape of the noodles. It was really interesting to see that.
Absolutely. You know, I think I don't want to deviate too far, but you know, bon bo hue, which is this, you know, another variety of pho from this city called Hue. It's spicier. It has more meat in it. That was actually one of my favorite. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Last question. If you were a vegetable, what vegetable would you be and why?
I would want to be a daikon. I think daikon is the Asian radish, normally white. I want to be daikon because it just brings me the memory of eating hot soups in the summer. So people in Asia, in China or Japan, they make daikon soup in winter. And the saying goes, eat daikon, and you know, basically eat daikon keeps the doctors away. Same as, you know, eat apples keeps the doctors away in the US. Daikon just brings me the memory of being healthy and a family meal in winter with family.
So you don't need to go see the doctor very often because you are yourself a daikon radish.
Yeah.
Nice. Awesome. It's been so great to catch up and to talk to you today. Where can our listeners find you, find your products, try your Sichuan pepper oil?
My website, 50hertzfoods.com, that's perhaps the best place. And we have, you know, a few stores in New York City and in Washington. That's where we're based. That sells our product as well. So check out our website, and that's the best place to start.
Awesome. As always, you can reach us, yfood@heritageradionetwork.org, or on social media at yfoodpodcast. You can reach me via my spice company, Burlap and Barrel, at Burlap and Barrel on Instagram. And you can reach Valerie via her Instagram at foodie in New York. Thanks to Armin Spengen, our sound engineer. Thanks to the Red Crickets for our theme song. And most of all, Yao, thank you for joining me this week and for such an interesting and tingly conversation.
Yeah, it's really my pleasure, Ethan.
Talk to you all next week.
Why Food is powered by Simplecast. Thanks for listening to Heritage Radio Network, food radio supported by you. For our freshest content, subscribe to our newsletter. Enter your email at the bottom of our website, heritageradionetwork.org. Connect with us on Instagram and Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can also find us at facebook.com/heritageradionetwork.
Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization driving conversations to make the world a better, fairer, more delicious place. And we couldn't do it without support from listeners like you. Want to be a part of the food world's most innovative community? Subscribe to the shows you like, tell your friends, and please join the HRN family by becoming a member. Just click on the beating heart at the top right of our homepage. Thanks for listening.